today on Real Radio.
All around the world right now, we have been stripped of our physical churches, haven't we? And now, listen, I believe this is the hand of God, that God is speaking to every single human being on earth regarding our identity. Are you a member of His church, not a building?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now, of course, modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where exactly we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing is perfectly clear. God is speaking to this world, and we need to listen. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that when Alexander the Great came to Smyrna, he rebuilt the city to such greatness that the people of Smyrna boasted of once being dead, but now we live. The root word of Smyrna is myrrh, which means bitter or strong, and when ingested, could be a healer. It's where Caesars were first called lords and elevated as gods. But Jesus wrote to the church in Smyrna to encourage them and to remind them of who He is in their life. And now in his message called, My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So with that, church, let's do this together. I will read all of the verses through and follow along with me, if you would, as we look to the seven letters of the seven churches at this time during this global pandemic. We've stopped our study in 2 Peter for now, and we are looking at the letters of the seven churches, the last words of Jesus Christ to His church. And we begin Revelation 2, verse 8, picking it up in our second study. We look at the church that is at Smyrna. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, who says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be fruitful unto death, or faithful unto death, and I will give you, bestow, gift, the crown of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you, Lord, that right now in our time as a church family, God, that you would just cause us to get down into your word, and Lord, that we would settle in to glean up and out of it all that you have for us right here, right now, on this day in the 21st century. We know that as we look to the Bible, any chapter, any verse of the Bible, though it may have been written thousands and thousands of years ago, is applicable to now and to tomorrow and forever. So, Father, we pray that you would be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, listen, you remember perhaps, I hope, last week when we started looking at the first letter to the seven churches, we looked at the church at Ephesus, and I titled these addresses this way. From last week, we saw that Jesus was speaking and saying, my dear Ephesus, I have written to you a letter. And so today we keep that theme going. And the reason why I've set or crafted the title this way is to make it personal for us. Because when we get to the end of this series, we're going to examine our own lives. We're going to check and look inside of what kind of letter would Jesus write to you or to me or to us or to your church. that is your home church. So today we look at, my dear Smyrna, I've written you a letter. Smyrna, if you're a note taker, a little bit of background is essential to understanding why Jesus said what he said to this church. Smyrna is located 35 miles north of where Ephesus was. Now, we remember that Ephesus was church number one, and that it was the first stop or the origin of the ancient Roman postal route. And that postal route was world famous at the time, and that it began in Ephesus as mail would arrive from the world. It would come into the Mediterranean. It would come to the port of Ephesus, and the mail would be delivered there and or offloaded. And then the circuit would go all the way around to these seven Roman cities of Asia Minor. And so 35 miles north of Ephesus is this city called Smyrna. By the way, there is no more Ephesus. It is only a archaeological stop today, but I've got to tell you, Smyrna is still in existence today. In fact, there are thousands and thousands of Christians who live carefully. They live in Smyrna, or today Izmir, Turkey. They're under the threat of persecution as they were then, so they are today. But it's important to know that we go north now. In your mind, in a map, go north. And as you look at some of these things in your heart or in your mind or in your head or on your map, you would see that as you head up into Smyrna, you are now making your way to what will become almost a grand loop as it ends with the church of Laodicea in future studies. But what do we know about Smyrna? Smyrna was in existence 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. It's an extremely old city, and it is well documented. Smyrna, or Izmir, as I said today, is an extremely beautiful place. By the way, much of Turkey is extremely beautiful. If you've never been to Turkey, it is a beautiful country, now under Islamic rule. But Izmir is today the modern name for Smyrna. And it's a very prosperous city. It was then, it is now. And it's either second or third largest city in all of Turkey. It's a very important seaport village, or I should say was a village and then a city, and then even now today, a great prosperous area. But a little bit of background regarding its origins, or I should say, listen carefully, its resurrection. We know that Smyrna was this city that was leveled by many wars throughout antiquity. It had been devastated numerous times by great earthquakes. But when Alexander the Great came, under his command of the Grecian or the Greek Empire, as Alexander the Great established it, when he came to Smyrna that day and saw it and captured it and took it, Alexander the Great, it is reported, laid down and went to sleep. He took a nap, or he was sleeping, it doesn't say, but that he was sleeping, and that he was given a vision from the gods. And that vision from the gods, Alexander the Great reports, was this: rise up, rebuild, resurrect this once great city. And so Alexander the Great was, in his mind, commissioned by the Greek gods to do that. The truth of the matter is, Lysimachus, one of his generals — he had four key generals — one of his generals were actually the one that, in having served Alexander the Great, actually completed that task. He restored the city to its once great status. And listen to this. And the citizens of Smyrna, history records, boasted. And this is what they said. In fact, this became their city motto. You know how all of our cities have mottos? Where you pull into the town and sometimes it says something like, welcome to Los Angeles. Listen to this. Welcome to Los Angeles, the city of angels. That's what it means. I don't know, but that's what it says. You can go to Philadelphia, and as you enter, it says, welcome to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And on it goes. Every city, every village had its theme. And they established a new theme. And their new theme was simply this: we once were dead, but now we live. That's what happened when you pulled in on your camel or on your donkey as you were riding in to Smyrna. It said, welcome to Smyrna. We once were dead, but now we live. And that is important to where we're going and what Jesus says. A little bit of background also continues. The design of the city, according to historians, was splendid indeed. I'm reading now. From the Mediterranean Sea, you would ascend up through the city of Mount Pagus, where atop the mount were beautifully designed buildings, and that from the distance, due to its elevation, caused the mount or Mount Pagus to take on an appearance from a distance as a golden crown. Those who lived in Smyrna affectionately called the peak of that mount of Mount Pagus, they called it the crown of Smyrna, the crown of life. So if you're a careful student, you're already picking up on two identification markers that are in verses 8 through 11. I once was dead and I'm alive, and the crown of life. This was the birthplace of the famed Homer. It was Smyrna where emperor worship began. That's important. There, Roman emperors were first elevated as gods, and the personification of those gods on earth, listen, the Romans called them Caesars. The Romans believed that Caesars were men who embodied the demigods of Roman paganism. And Smyrna is that birthplace, not only of Homer, but of the Caesars. And it is in Smyrna where the crowds first proclaimed Caesar is Lord. And you need to know that. By the way, that spirit is coming back. We know from Bible prophecy that that spirit is going to return to the world where Jesus will be challenged in the world because another man is coming, the Bible says, who is the Antichrist, and he is going to demand that he is Lord. History always repeats itself. So as we look back, we're even looking to the future as we study the book of Revelation and the seven letters to the seven churches. We learn also, and we can show you some images on this, that Smyrna got its name from its chief export material. And that was a balm-like resin that came from a tree, a camphor family of trees. And when the, listen to this, when the tree was poked, stabbed, or thrashed, hit, wounded, out from the tree came this amber-colored resin, and it was considered to be extremely valuable. Why? Because of the interesting way of which it was gotten. The trees were raised or grown up, but they had to be smitten before they would produce the resin. Listen, Smyrna has a root word. Smyrna comes out of a root word, and that root word is myrrh. This resin is what we know of as myrrh. And it's beautiful to look at. It looks a lot like motor oil, like brand new fresh motor oil. But once it comes out and it hardens, it looks like, kind of to me, like a golden raisins. But they, when that resin sets, it is as hard as a rock. And it was very, very precious. It was exported all around the world. But there was one place that paid top dollar for myrrh. And that was Egypt. Egypt used myrrh to embalm its dead. And that shouldn't surprise any of us, because we might remember very well that myrrh was part of the gifts that Jesus received at his birth. Remember that? The Magi came from Persia and they brought him, what was it? Gold, frankincense, and what, everybody? Say it where you're at. Myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold speaks about the deity of Christ. The frankincense speaks about the priesthood of Christ. And the myrrh speaks about the sacrifice of Christ. Because myrrh, being so precious and so beautiful to the beholder, it was their way of saying to the dead, I love you. And I'm giving to you what your life was worthy of receiving. It was a display of devotion and of love. It's quite remarkable. Smyrna, the city. Acts chapter 19, verse 9 says that Paul reasoned with the people daily in the school of Tyrannus. That would have been in this region. And this he continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Many scholars believe that the school of Tyrannus was actually based in Smyrna. And so if that's true, then either the church was started by Paul the Apostle or by disciples of Paul the Apostle. But what's interesting, as we get into our study today, there's no negative words that come from Jesus regarding the church of Smyrna. There's no rebuke. There's no criticism. He only assures them and encourages them. Now, that's different than last week in Ephesians, in Ephesus, to the letter to the church at Ephesus. Jesus rebuked them. He exhorted them. He challenged them to get back to their first love. Notice this, Smyrna has no problem loving God. And we're gonna find out why today. And right now, all around the world, all of us, we need to examine where our relationship is with the Lord. So again, note takers, mark this down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 says, John is speaking to the seven churches which are in Asia. That's that place of Asia Minor, not Asia in your mind today, but Asia Minor, that area of Turkey. Let's keep going by way of background. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Notice the number 7. And you saw in the introductory video of our menorah and our foyer that there's the 7 lampstands. In Revelation 1, 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man stood. And I made mention of that in the video. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible tells us there, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the 7 angels of the churches, the messengers, or we do no damage to the scripture by saying the pastors, the messengers assigned to those churches, ordained to those churches. And he goes on, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. And that's pretty remarkable. So I want you to think about a church. And of course, it's not a church like the building I'm in. We've mentioned this before. It's very heightened in our awareness now. Pastors all around the world delivering messages inside of empty churches. But when I say an empty church, it's an empty building. I should be very accurate about that. It's an empty address. It's an empty building. But the fact of the matter is the church is that spiritual entity that we've been talking about. So Jesus is writing to 7 churches of Asia Minor. They were actual geographical locations and that they were places of assembly, but he never means the building. He means the people who have a spiritual DNA that make up the church. And I am completely impressed, and maybe you are too, that all around the world right now, we have been stripped of our physical churches, haven't we? And now listen, I believe this is the hand of God, that God is speaking to every single human being on earth regarding our identity. Are you a member of his church, not a building? Are you the one written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, or are you trusting in your name to appear on some church record or ledger? Now we've been stripped of this security blanket, as it were, by the building. And we've all been made to be alone, and we've all been put out, as it were, to be alone with Christ. And he's asking you, in this downtime, as it were, who are you? What are you? And what church most describes who you are? And today is very significant, because Smyrna was a church of great persecution. So mark it, if you would, number one. Jesus is saying, my dear Smyrna, I've written you a letter. And here's what we get in verse 8 is that it's to remind you of who I am in your life. Christian, will you write that down? Jesus is using every situation in this world right now to communicate this truth to you and I. And that is, you need to remember who I am in your life. We get that out of verse 8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, here it comes. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Now, do you see by way of introduction? The people of Smyrna would have immediately thought, wow, I got that. We live in this city that once was dead and now it's alive. Jesus is speaking directly to us. Isn't that a powerful truth? You think about that. We can read the Bible. You know, we can read the Bible in our daily Bible reading and get nothing out of it. And that's too easy to do. You know, if we have a daily Bible reading routine, we can often get into the rut of just reading. Yep, I did my chapters. Yep, I'll be through the Bible in 1 year and get nothing out of it. You don't want that. What you want is for the Word of God to speak to you personally. And all of a sudden, the letter arrives to the church at Smyrna and it opens up. Can you imagine? It opens up by this incredible word of encouragement and assurance. Jesus says to them, I'm the first and the last. That's significant. And secondly, the power of his statement that I'm the one who was dead and came back to life. Just like the motto on their city streets. The word Smyrna, as you heard already, myrrh is the root, but it means bitter. Listen, it means bitter. It means strong, pungent. The word means that it has an aroma, a scent, a taste, an experience to it. It's something that we know from antiquity and from history that myrrh is a treatment for ailments. It's interesting to find out that myrrh is an aroma. And by the way, how you deal with myrrh, it produces an aroma by how you treat it differently. Isn't it amazing to think? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I did a little homework. And first of all, if you ingest myrrh, don't do it, but it's supposed to be very carefully regulated. It's supposed to heal intestinal issues and skin issues if taken in right. It was known as a medical treatment in those days. But listen, if you were to put that ground up myrrh in your mouth, it would be very, very bitter to the taste. However, listen, if you crushed it, an aroma came out of it. If you were to beat myrrh, you would smell a very beautiful aroma. I have to tell you, I have myrrh in my office. And when you hold it up to your nose, you can barely smell anything at all. But if I scrape it on my desk or on a piece of metal and then smell it again, you can smell a sweet, there's a sweet cinnamon-like smell to it. It's quite unique, quite powerful, just by scratching it on something abrasive. But if you crush it, it releases an aroma. If you burn it, it very much fills the room with sweet-smelling cinnamon-type aroma. And that's significant. The city that was known to produce this great treasure of the ancient world, that it depended upon how an individual experienced their myrrh, that sent a message. And Jesus is saying, I'm speaking to you, the church at Smyrna. The church that experiences bitterness, the church that experiences actually being an aroma, a church that can be a healer if taken in rightly, a church that can be effective. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening and take heart. If we go through the hard times with the Lord, then it's certain we'll go through the good times as well. My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter is part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series that's taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to the seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.